Hey guys, welcome back to the Across the World podcast. I'm your host, as always, Tanner Dimling. We got a lot going on this week. NLL free agency is ramping up once again as the weekend has come to a close. The MLL playoffs are set. The World Junior Lacrosse Championships are starting on Wednesday. And much, much more to get to on this edition of Across the World podcast. Let's get it. We're going to start off here talking about the weekend that was in the MLL. Week 15 was the last regular season weekend in the MLL. We saw a lot of good teams go home that maybe deserved a playoff spot, but just could not get in that top four that you need to be in to be in the MLL playoffs. So let's go through week 15 recap here. First camp here, the Boston Cannons and the Ohio Machine. This was a surprising result. Boston beats Ohio 23-13. This game did not matter. None of these teams were making the playoffs here. Neither of these teams were. The only big thing kind of that was in this game maybe was that, well, actually it was a big thing here. Max Seabold and Mitch Belisle were having their last game as a Boston Cannon, as an MLL player, as they will retire at the end of 2018. That was announced last week. So happy trails to Max and Mitch. They've been some key veterans for the Ohio Machine over the past 11 to 10 years. Now, this game was, you could say those two guys are very important, so they must have dominated. They actually did not dominate really at all. They did play very well, but it was Mark Cockerton doing pretty much everything for this Boston team in terms of offensive firepower. He had 8 goals on the day. Zed Williams, James Pennell also had big performances as they each had 2 goals. That impressive offensive performance, particularly in the first half, would help Ohio secure that big victory here help Boston secure that big victory here that they have been looking for all season. The way the season ended for Boston, maybe some real hope than we had. Other than Boston fans had going into the offseason. Obviously did not make the playoffs, but last couple games did play a lot better than they had earlier in the season. I think they finally got the pieces together. They maybe didn't have those together mid-season like we thought they did after they made a couple of those big moves. Boston looking good heading into the offseason, obviously missing the playoffs, but all signs point to things being good in Boston. Now, as far as Ohio went in this game, it was kind of a tale of two halves for them. In the first half, they looked bad. In fact, they looked awful. They looked horrible. I've never seen Ohio look worse than what they did in the first half there. It wasn't till the third quarter that you'd see guys start to step up, start to find a rhythm, trying to get something done. Bryce Wasserman and Justin Gutterding would lead the offense as they each had 4 goals apiece. Bryce Wasserman, rookie out of Monmouth, making his 2nd appearance in the MLL this year. Ohio finishes the 2018 MLL season sitting in last place with a 3-11 record. Boston finishes in 3rd place. Not 3rd place. Eighth place with a 5-9 record. So we're getting into the second game here. The Dallas Rattlers would beat the Florida Launch 13-13. This was another game, did not mean that much at all. Dallas had already secured a playoff spot. In fact, the number 1 seed in the playoffs. Really here, what we saw was kind of Dallas letting Florida do what they want in the first half. And Dallas, when they got down, I believe it was 7 goals, they stepped up and we're going to allow Florida to beat them at home, as they only have one loss at home all year, which came 2 weeks ago to the New York Lizards, as they would beat Dallas to secure, or to help secure that playoff spot that they eventually got this weekend. That's the game we'll talk about next coming up here. But the Rattlers, they would end in the final few minutes of the game with 2 goals that really secured the game for them. You know, Florida, they got up big. Boston came back. Dallas came back. And Dallas, they weren't going away towards the end of the game, as they put it all on the line the last few minutes to secure that 1-goal win. Good game there for Dallas heading into the playoffs. For Dallas, we'd see Ned Cardi and Jordan McIntosh help this team get that victory. In for Florida, we would see Kieran McArdle and Connor Busick each have a hat trick to help there. Florida finishes the 2018 season with a 5-9 record, as they missed the playoffs after making them for the first time in 2017. Dallas is on the top seed in the playoffs. They had an 11-3 regular season. The New York Lizards and the Chesapeake Bay Hawks. New York would win 18-11 in a very tight one. This was a big game, as the Lizards needed a win to secure the playoff spot. They did just that. Rob Pinnell, also congrats to him, becoming the all-time leading single-season scoring record in goals. So he has 75 goals on this season, which his old record for last year he broke. So he's now the MLL single-season record holder in goals per season, again, as he broke his own record. New York would use a big first half to help get them ahead, secure the 18-11 victory. You know, Rob Pinnell, Will Manny, Joel Tenney, the usual cast of characters there would all have big games. The Bayhawks, they struggled in the first half, but they finally put it back together. They were starting to come back. It looked like they were going to come back, but they could not finish it. Josh Byrne and Lyle Thompson each having 3 goals apiece. Lyle's looking good since he's been back from his injury that he suffered in the NLL. So, really, both these teams, this was a game New York needed to win. And, you know, Chesapeake was the only team that could have kept New York out of the playoffs, which I know a lot of teams in the MLL would have liked to see, because any day, you don't want to go up against a team of that much firepower. It'll be interesting playoffs with them in there again. Last game we have here, the Atlanta Blaze and the Denver Outlaws. The Atlanta Blaze would beat Denver. The Denver Outlaws would beat Atlanta 15-13. This game would go right down to the wire. The best game of the weekend. Atlanta would dominate the first half until basically the end of the second. It's kind of when Denver took over. Also, we did have an hour weather delay in this game. The weather cannot seem to stay away from Atlanta, as it seems every week they're involved in at least one game with a weather delay of 30 minutes to up to 3 hours, like 2 weeks ago in Boca Raton against the Launch. So Atlanta, they would come out first half, do pretty well till kind of the end of the second. That's when Denver took over. Atlanta really struggled to get back the lead once they lost it. And, you know, for Atlanta, Kevin Rice and Christian Cuccinello each had a hat trick to their name. Great performance by Atlanta. They just could not finish the job and get their first playoff berth in history. Outlaws would survive. Eric Law fueled that offensive comeback with 5 goals on the day. Drew Snyder, Zach Currier, Also, having two goals to be a big part of that offense. Now, going over the MLL playoff bracket, it is number one versus number four, number two versus number five. Excuse me, number three. So, number one is the Dallas Rattlers. They will play the New York Lizards in what should be a fantastic semifinals matchup this Saturday, August 11th. Chesapeake will play Denver in the second semifinal game, also August 11th. Chesapeake being the 2 seed, Denver being the 3 seed. And Dallas number 1 and New York at number 4. So should be a great playoffs here. I do feel we do have the best 4 teams in the league, with the exception of Atlanta could have gotten here as well. Do feel for them there, but should be good playoffs nonetheless. Championship game will be August 21st, on my birthday actually, in Charleston, South Carolina. First time the MLL Championship has ever been hosted in South Carolina. Should be a fantastic game. Whoever secures that berth to go to the championship game in 2018. Now, the MLL also released their list of award nominees, as they're going to have an awards dinner, as they call it, an honors dinner, which, don't say that. It's season awards, not season honors. The awards finalist most valuable player, actually, it's the Coca-Cola most valuable player. The finalists for that are Jordan Wolf, attackman, Dallas Rattlers; Rob Pinnell, attackman, New York Lizards; and Kevin Rice, attackman, Atlanta Blaze. Now, funny enough, the Wheeler Offensive Player of the Year, the same three finalists. Same three finalists. That's weird. No bias towards the attack position there. Surely Miles Jones could have made that cut. Wheeler Defensive Player of the Year, Tucker Durkin, Florida Launch; Matt Dunn, Dallas Rattlers; and Michael Earhart, Charlotte Hounds. Agree with all those. Both three of the best defensemen in the league. The Brine Goalie of the Year, we have Nico Amato, Chesapeake Bayhawks; Austin Kaut with Florida Launch; and John Galloway with the Dallas Rattlers. The Cascade Rookie of the Year, we have Christian Cuccinello, attackman, Atlanta Blaze; Chris Cloutier, attackman, Denver Outlaws; Antoine Baptiste, face-off, a midfielder from the Boston Cannons. Coach of the Year, we have Dave Cottle, his first year back coaching in the league with the Chesapeake Bayhawks. He's been in the front office, but as Coach Reese stepped down last offseason, Coach Cottle stepped in, coached the team this year, did a great job. See him back next year. Believe we will. BJ O'Hara, Denver Outlaws; and Bill Wheeler, Dallas Rattlers. And Coach Wheeler, you know, moving from Rochester to Dallas, not an easy thing to do. A lot of those guys were Tim Sudan guys. Tim Sudan had been coaching with the Rattlers for a while up in Rochester. When they moved, a lot of guys kind of said, hey, I'm not going to come if Tim Sudan isn't the coach. Because, you know, they knew they weren't going to bring him down there to Dallas. So a lot of guys kind of said, we're not going. And that's when they stepped in and said, okay, this is what I've heard the players advocated for Coach Wheeler to be the head coach. Like, Tim Sudan's not going to be there. We're only going to listen to Coach Wheeler. He's been there with us in Rochester. You got to bring him down to Dallas as well. He's done a fantastic job down there in Dallas year one. There's also a new award, the David Huntley Man of the Year Award, Dave Huntley Man of the Year Award. new award the MLS will be presenting during the ceremony in Charleston, where all these awards will be announced. It's made in memory of former MLL coach and lacrosse great Dave Huntley, who passed away last December 2017. Missed by many. He was one of the greatest influences in the game of lacrosse. Canadian guy. He really connected the box game, the field game, the international game. You know, he connected all of those dots. Great man. Missed by many. He also was an assistant coach at Calvert Hall High School in Maryland. So, man was everywhere. Great guy. Again, missed by many in the lacrosse community. It's been weird not seeing him on the sidelines with the Atlanta Blaze this year as he coached the Blaze 2017. So love seeing that the MLL is doing something there to honor his memory. What this word says, the award will be presented to the lacrosse athlete, why don't you say lacrosse player, the lacrosse player who has demonstrated sportsmanship and professionalism that are beyond reproach, and who makes selfless, meaningful contributions to Major League Lacrosse, the game of lacrosse, and to his community, all things that Hunts did. These 9 nominees will be announced on Wednesday, August 8th. So if you're listening to this, probably already announced, because I'm recording this on Tuesday, August 7th. First off, I want to get it. There's so much bias in these awards, and I don't want to get too much into it, but why in the world are the guy, like, the same guys for MVP are the same nominees for Offensive Player of the Year, and you only have, if you consider face-off guys midfielders, you only have one midfielder on those, and Joe Baptiste. Why? Here's my question. You can have an Offensive Player of the Year and all that, but you need to have a Goalie of the Year, which they do, Defender of the Year, which they do. Well, you need an Attackman of the Year and a Midfielder of the Year. You do a Specialist of the Year. I mean, that would be ideal, a Defensive Mid of the Year. You can do a Best Player of every position each year, along the lines of what the NLL does. They've done, you know, Transition Player of the Year, Field of the Year, Goalie of the Year, and so on. That's how you do it. You don't list the same guys. Oh, these guys are all offensive guys up for MVP. They have to be up for, Offensive Player of the Year. These guys are the MVP guys. They're all offense. Whereas, there for sure some defensemen that could be up for MVP of the Year, some goalies, midfielders as well. So I don't like what they did there. I don't like that. There are guys that deserve to be on this list that are not on this list because they were not, they're not midfielders. And that's not right. That's not right in any way. All those guys that made that list are fantastic players, by the way. Fantastic players. But you need to have more than just that. If you're going to have an Offensive Player of the Year, you need to have attackmen and midfielders on there. You don't have to have 3 nominees. The NLL, they had like 7 nominees for each award. 7 finalists. So, you don't have to do that. You can have 6. 3 attackmen, 3 midfielders. Don't just guys are up for MVP or up for Offensive Player of the World because you can only be 1 MVP if you're an offensive guy. You don't do that. And you know, it's the same argument that people make for the Heisman. Like, you know, we should have a Heisman, should be the best offensive player. We should have an offensive and a defensive Heisman because the defensive player is never going to win the Heisman. So, same kind of argument there. We need to have more here for the MLL. We do. It's just simple. It's just beyond the point that they didn't even think of that. Like, that just blows my mind that they did. I don't know if they didn't think of that or if, you know, they were gonna do it and didn't do it, but it just blows my mind that they would release something like that. I mean, at least we haven't released any player information like social security numbers this year. Hope I don't jinx them on that one. But there has to be a better way to do these awards than there has to be. Like, I like the award ceremony. I really like that. There just has to be a better way to make these nominees make it more efficient. Make it more efficient. I'd like to see the way they select these guys. I'd really like to see that. That's something I want to see what goes into selecting these guys. You know, why isn't Miles Jones on there? I don't know, man. I don't know. I do not know why they do things that they do. So, with that, we're getting into some college news now. Harvard has announced Littell as an assistant. Eddie transferred to Boston. That was the post up on Lacrosse Bucket Blog on Monday, August 6th. So, Harvard has announced a new offensive coordinator, I guess, is what he'll be taking over for Justin Tilley, who left to take the offensive coordinator job at Michigan. This hiring comes after. So Al Littell will be the new assistant coach at Harvard. Littell was at Harvard in the 2018 season. He was the operations manager, so he's getting promoted there. He was at Boston U in the same position from 2015 to 2017 before he came to Harvard. He was a coach at Boston U during the club days and stayed on for the first 2 years of Division I there as an assistant. He spent 7 years as an assistant. Yeah, for the Terriers, just said that. He played for the club team at Boston U when they were club before they went D1. As I said, helped in that transition in a coaching role as he was there for the first 2 years of coaching of the Division I as an assistant coach. Some real coaching news, Canisius. They have announced that former Rutgers goalie Chris Allen will be an assistant coach there. His responsibilities will be goalies, assisting the game planning and recruiting. So Chris Allen played. Was a 4-year letter winner, a letterman at Rutgers, graduating 2016. Played 53 games and posted an overall 522. A .522 save percentage with 535 saves for the Scarlet Knights in 2013. Allen was named Big East Goalie of the Year and named for the first and was a first team All Big East selection. That was before the Big East kind of collapsed and they moved to the Big Ten. Allen played 1 year in the MLL. So he was drafted in the 7th round of the MLL by the Rochester Rattlers last year. He graduated from Rutgers in 2016. So, 2017 draft, he went, 2016 draft, whatever. 7th round, he played one season for the Rochester Rattlers when they were in Rochester. During 2017, he had a career high 17 saves against the Florida launch in his MLL debut. This is what head coach Mark Michata said about the hiring of Chris Allen here. So we are excited to add Chris Allen to our staff. this year after a terrific playing career. And Rutgers coach Allen most recently helped guide Puerto Rico to the quarterfinals in the World Championships in Israel in their first ever appearance. In spending time with Coach Allen, his passion and energy for teaching the game were apparent. We are excited to add a young coach with his experience to our staff. I forgot to mention, he did coach. That was kind of his coaching start. Was with Puerto Rico this summer in Israel. He was an assistant coach there, helping them to an 8th place finish in their first ever appearance in the World Lacrosse, in the World Championships. Some other coaching news, speculations, I might say, surrounding Rutgers. So, Rutgers has posted on their website, or on their job website, or whatever you call it, which usually, like, coaching jobs you don't see on websites, because, like, they're not really open application. But I guess Rutgers has, like, a website where they just have, like, all their job openings, I guess, so I don't know if you kind of have to put that on there. I think, but they have a opening position for, pull this up real quick. They have an open position for assistant lacrosse coach on there. And, I'm pulling this up right now. So, Rutgers, they have a job posting for new men's lacrosse assistant coach. Just went up this today, August 7th, Tuesday. And then also, per Chris Jastrzemski, collegecross.com, he says that sources have told him Kevin Understein will be the next defensive coordinator at UNC. If you remember, UNC did lose a defensive coordinator earlier in this offseason, stepping down there. I believe he went somewhere else. I cannot remember. Full thing there was back in June, July. So, some openings at Rutgers. Do believe in Kevin Understein may or may not be named the defensive coordinator. I'm supposed to say he'll be the defensive coordinator at North Carolina. So, some transfer news as well. Again, first reported by Chris Jastrzemski on Sunday night, LSM Reese Eddy would be transferring from Canisius to Boston U. During his sophomore year, Canisius, which was last season, Eddy, he played in every game. He had 5 goals, 2 assists, 85 ground balls, and I believe a couple, 29, I believe, caused turnovers. Eddie was selected to the All-MAC second team. Great pickup for Boston U here. So Boston U, they lost Malcolm Glendening earlier in the season, transferring to Penn State. So, should be able to fill that hole there at the LSM position for the Terriers in 2018, or at least compete for that spot. Now, getting into what's to come this week, obviously, NOL Free Agency, we have our own NOL Free Agency podcast specials that we're doing for that. That one should be up by the time you're listening to this. Put that up. I was going to put that up at midnight with this one, but put that one up last night. So this should be up at midnight if you're listening to this. You can go check out our NOL Free Agency Frenzy special. Some other news here. Connor Fields out 4 to 6 months with a knee injury. I believe I did talk about that on the last podcast. If I did not, there you go. Team USA announced the indoor tryout roster last week. You can go check that out on crossbuggerblog.com. But some news here and what's coming on this week. So tomorrow or today, when you're listening to this, is the first day of the World Junior Lacrosse Championships taking place in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Saskatoon is buzzing right now with lacrosse, with the Rush winning. I believe they're hosting something next summer, I believe. Canada got the women's championship. It's in Peterborough. World championships next summer. Canada's getting everything right now. Getting everything. Got 2019 at Langley in Vancouver. Got the World Indoor Championships 2022. The World Championships, the men's field. The U19 championships will be in Ireland. That should be cool. See that take place in Ireland. But these World Junior Lacrosse Championships, so this is the a U20 basically tournament. So in the past they had a couple. They had like teams that were represented. There are like multiple countries there. They had like some heritage teams. They've had teams from Germany come over. They haven't really had full like one nation represented by one team. Finally doing that this year, no teams from Europe could come. I believe they had a team from the Czech Republic last time, and Germany. So they won't be there. It's just the United States, Canada, and the Iroquois. That will take place tomorrow. Going over the schedule here. So tomorrow, the Iroquois and Canada kick things off. It's 7:30 Central Time. So if you are, it'll be 8:30 Eastern Time. So 8:30 Eastern Time, first game. So they're playing kind of round robin, and then there'll be third place game, and then championship game, obviously. I'm betting it's going to be Iroquois and Canada, just like everything else in the box world. We are seeing countries like Czech Republic. Czech Republic's always been pretty good. We're seeing teams like Israel starting to get better in box as well. They won the Tel Aviv Lacrosse Club, won the Al-Shabreshki in March last year, so pretty cool to see that they beat teams from across Europe. A couple guys from like Canada and the States go over and play in that every year, so cool to see that there. But in this, with it being USA, Canada, and Iroquois, should be just Canada Iroquois championship game with the United States taking the bronze. I'm betting that could be different. Could not, but that's just kind of what I'm feeling. Looking at the rosters, they have guys from playing summer box everywhere. A couple college guys, not many college guys with the Iroquois in Canada, but a bunch of college guys with the United States. In other box news, we're going up north here. Well, staying up north. The WLA and the MSL playoffs are in full swing. So, in the the WLA winners and the MSL winners will play for the Man Cup. That's Senior A box lacrosse, the highest level of summer box you can get. Victoria and Nanaimo actually play tonight, 7:30 Pacific time, for what will be game five, I believe. Game of five. I'll check here. But should be a good game here tonight. So started on Wednesday, Victoria and Nanaimo won. All right. It's game four tonight. Series tied 2-2. Nanamico won the first game. Victoria the second game. Victoria the third game. Okay. So Victoria leads 2-1 in the series. Nanamico can even it out here. In the other semifinal, New Westminster, the Salmon Bellies, and the Maple Ridge Bullards. Maple Ridge actually is leading New Westminster 3-0 now. It's a best of seven series, so they can end it tomorrow night, Wednesday night. It's in Maple Ridge, so should be interesting to see if New Westminster gets swept by Maple Ridge, the winner of the WLA. So these semifinals, the winners will go play in the finals. The winner of that will go to the Man Cup and play the winner of the MSL. In the MSL, we have playoffs starting in full swing there as well. Pulling up the schedule here right now. So, their playoffs started on Thursday, August 2nd. It's Peterborough in Brooklyn and Oakville in Six Nations. Six Nations and Peterborough won the first game. So, they play like back-to-back games. So, they have two games a night. Obviously, different locations. Six Nations leads Oakville 1-0, and Peterborough leads Brooklyn 1-0. Game tonight, actually, on Tuesday. Oakville, Six Nations. It's in Six Nations, and it's in Peterborough, those games. One of those semifinals obviously go to the finals. One of that goes to the Man Cup. And we also have the Minto Cup and the Founders Cup and all that coming up next week. Next week. Check my calendar here. The Founders Cup, which is Junior B, will start a week from today, so next Tuesday. And the Minto Cup will start on next Thursday. And then the President's Cup, which is Senior B, will start on August 26th. And the Man Cup will start on Saturday, September 8th. So a lot of box coming up here. I think the Minto Cup actually has three teams in it already. Looking for one. So, in this one, so it's in Alberta this year. So, there's one. So, the Alberta, the champion of like that league, gets in, and the host gets in. The host team gets in. So, Alberta gets two teams, and then British Columbia, the BCJALL champion, and the Ontario Junior A Lacrosse League, the OJALL champion. Gets in. I can't remember what teams. I know Coquitlam made it for the 10th time in a row as they won the BCJLL. To make it into the Minto Cup for the 10th time in a row. Going over here. The Minto Cup, Minto Cup 2018. All right, they don't have the teams necessarily on. They don't have the teams on. on the Mental Cup website yet, but he's on the Twitter, go Mental Cup 2018. It's the one with like the official logo, not the fan one. It's just a trophy. So, the junior A Raiders out of Alberta are in there, and the junior A Mountaineers out of Alberta. They're the two Alberta teams that made it. The Raiders, they won their league. The Mountaineers are the host there. And the Adnacks, the Coquitlam Adnacks, they are the BCJALL champion. They have made it, and now we're just waiting on the OJALL champion to see who makes it in from there. Do believe the finals are set in the OJALL. So the finals here are, let's see, finals of the OJALL are Brampton, Brampton and Millensville. So that's there for the OJALL. Jeff T actually, one of the leaders on the Brampton Excelsiors there. So those two will be battling it out for the OJALL championship to see who gets to go to the Minto Cup. This is a best of seven series. Best of seven series here. Millensville leads. Alright. Brampton leads by like one game. On there was 3-2 on that. Spent way too much time talking about that than I thought I would. Had to look up some stuff on there. Didn't have it all. Thought they had it on the website. Did not. So, went over the Mental Cup, went over the Man Cup, what's going on in the battle for that there. Let's go over the Founders Cup and the President's Cup. So the President's Cup is Senior B, Box Lacrosse Action, Box Lacrosse Championship. Going over here. The President's Cup here. So, what that will be is the Can-Am champion. Nanaimo, they're the host, so they're already in there. And then Saskatchewan Brewers, they've made it in. And then the winners of the Quebec Senior League, the Rocky Mountain League, the West Coast Lacrosse League, and the Three Nations Lacrosse League will all make it in there. I'm going to have a post up later this week talking about all these different championships, what's going on there in these playoff races here, breaking it down by, each cup, or each championship, Minto Cup, Man Cup, President's Cup, Founders Cup. So, that's what's going on there. So currently only two teams in, Nanaimo and Saskatoon Brewers. Going over the Founders Cup. Founders Cup starts next week, I believe. Yep, Founders Cup starts next week. Yeah, said that already. Founders Cup starts next week. It was supposed to be in Rochester, kind of, I believe. Like Rochester area, now it's in Mohawk. It's Axquani, I believe is how you say that. Apologies for mispronunciation there. But it is on the Mohawk Nation territory. And trying to pull up teams here. So, I don't think anybody's made it in. Yeah, we'll see who makes it in this week. So basically, it's all the, you know, OJ, BLL, BC, JBLL, all the B leagues in Canada come together for that one. Again, I'll have more about the Summer Box Championships coming up this week. We'll definitely have some good coverage of that once they are going on as well. We'll have good coverage of the Minto Cup next week. I believe JVI Media is going to be covering or broadcasting the Founders Cup this year. It's what I saw from that. So good for them doing that. They broadcast pretty much all the Six Nations Chiefs games. They do a great job on those, so I can't wait to watch it. The Founders Cup through them, I think it should be free on YouTube. If not, I will let you all know of that. You can watch the Game 2 of the series, MSL Finals, actually, on YouTube tonight. On Smart Media, on the YouTube channel, go check out Six Nations Chiefs on Twitter. They have a link there. By the time you listen to that, that game will be over with. No, that's pretty much all we got on the podcast today, guys. I know it's a little longer one. Spent a lot of time talking about some Canadian box, but don't forget, check out lacrossebuggerblog.com for all your latest lacrosse news. We have a ton of NLL free agency stuff up there. MLL content as the playoffs start this week. Very, very excited for that. College news and more. Don't forget to check out us on social media as well. My personal at Tanner_Demling. It's DEMLING. Go to the blogs at Lacrosse Bucket on Twitter. Same on Instagram. And on Facebook as well. We will see you all next week. And by the time we see you all next week, we will know who is in the MLL Championship. Cannot wait for that. Have a great week, guys. Have a great weekend. Watch some lacrosse. Get out. Play some ball. Do what you got to do to get better every day. We'll see you all next week.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.